This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Nicola Harmon designs and makes mulberry silk accessories for women and children. So I first came across Nicola on Instagram and was so excited to invite her onto the podcast. Nicola actually runs her business alongside a full-time job, and it's fascinating. I don't know how she has enough hours in the day to do what she does. This is a really interesting conversation about running a handmade business, and you also learn a lot about silk and the properties of silk as well, which I knew nothing about and personally found quite interesting. So I really hope you enjoy this interview. I'll now introduce you to Nicola. So hi Nicola, thank you so much for being here.
Hi Vicky.
So nice to talk to you. So can we please start by you giving an introduction to yourself, your business and what you sell?
Yeah, of course. So hi, my name's Nicola. I'm the owner of Silk Jasmine and I hand make and sell accessories for women and children, such as like hair scrunchies, headbands, eye masks, face masks, and that range is sort of growing all the time as well.
Oh, thank you. And actually, we got connected via Instagram and I've seen all of your products, which just look lovely and gorgeous. And I didn't actually realise until I looked into it a bit more that you actually handmade them all, which is,
yes.
Yeah. And had no idea until I actually sort of looked into you a little bit more. So could you maybe tell us of how and why you started your business? Because I mean, I obviously have sort of done a bit of reading and I know your story, but I think it'd be really interesting to share.
Yeah, of course. So I first sort of got into sewing and brought my first sewing machine probably around sort of 11 or 12 years ago, possibly longer. Firstly, just because I'm only 5'2". And I was just so fed up of sort of paying to have all my trousers and jeans and things turned up. And then it just quickly sort of grew from there, really, just into really, really enjoying and finding it quite therapeutic, sort of learning a new hobby. And yeah, it quickly grew and I made my own clothes and eventually sort of went on to lingerie as well, which is much, much trickier. And then life just got in the way, like it does really, and it got pushed to one side and collected dust. And then I got divorced, moved house, and yeah, things just really got in the way. And then along came COVID, and I started to make scrubs for my local hospital, and then face masks sort of for friends and family. And it just really reminded me how much I really loved that process and loved sewing. And then in March 2020, so in that first sort of lockdown, I wasn't working much at that point and started to sort of play around with some of my fabric stash. So I'd sort of, through sewing, had built up quite a big stash of all different sorts of materials. And then I read an article about the benefits of silk for the hair and the skin and started to do a little bit of research. I've worked as a beauty therapist for over 10 years sort of prior to that career change. So I'd always been interested in skincare and in having my own business as well. So I've sort of dabbled in various different things and network marketing and learned quite a lot through that. And so, yeah, the business really developed from there.
So really, so it wasn't that long ago then, really, because we were recording this in May 2021, so you started sort of picking up your sewing machine again, like, as it were, in March. When did it sort of transition from making things for your hospital and for friends and family to actually creating products that you were selling? When did that happen?
The website went live in August. Yeah, in August 2020. So I'm less than a year old at the moment. Yeah, and so I started sort of planning and thinking about it in March, and then a little bit more in May, and then in the summer, because I work in education, so I was off for the 6 weeks holiday at that point. So I'd worked a little bit back in the school just for teaching the key stage sort of bubbles that we had then. And then I was off for the summer, and that's when things quickly grew, and then launched the website, which I built myself. So I was really proud of that in August.
Wow. It seems to me that you did that really quickly. And also, what an excellent use of your summer holiday. That's amazing. I mean, I guess you haven't got any time off, but wow.
No.
And we'll talk a bit later about how you sort of run the business alongside your day job. But one thing I'd like to go back to, if that's okay, is you mentioned that you started looking into the benefits of silk. I know nothing about this. Would you mind just sharing for us, like, why silk is so good for your skin and your hair?
Yeah, of course. So I use something called mulberry silk. And that's sort of one of the highest qualities that you can get. And it's produced by the Bombyx mori moth, which are fed an exclusive diet of mulberry leaves, and that's why it's called mulberry silk. But it has like natural amino acids, so they are hydrating on the technical side, but it doesn't, so for the hair it doesn't leave dents, it doesn't pull and snag, you know, it's hydrating. So again, for the skin, it's also hydrating, it's naturally antibacterial. It's also naturally hypoallergenic. It doesn't absorb your skin creams as well. So whereas cotton is quite absorbing, if you were wearing an eye mask and putting on those eye creams or sleeping on a silk pillow, because it doesn't absorb the creams, your skin is then absorbing the product properly, which allows them to then work properly. It also has anti-aging properties, again, because of those amino acids. And less sleep wrinkles as well. So when you're sleeping on silk, just because it's not pulling and dragging on the skin, definitely less sleep wrinkles when you wake. And it's also great for those, because it's antibacterial, great for people who suffer with acne and eczema. It has so many benefits. It's temperature regulating as well. So it keeps you warm and cozy in the winter, but cooler in the summer. It dries quickly. There is such a huge list of, yeah, great positives for using silk.
I had no idea about it, apart from this pillowcase. I've heard of silk pillowcases because it's on my list of things I probably need to get now I'm sort of getting old. I keep thinking, oh, a silk pillowcase would be nice, because I wake up with like flyaway hair and wrinkled skin. So I think I've been looking at silk pillowcase, but I had no idea about the other benefits. And what's really interesting is I sell bamboo products, and bamboo and silk have got so many similarities. When you were saying that, I was thinking, I had no idea how similar they are in terms of their properties. I knew nothing about silk before speaking to you, apart from that it feels nice. So that's, thank you for sharing that. And that's really nice, actually, to know so much about the product as well, I think, and the material that they're made from. So I guess, how did you go from making face masks to, I guess what I'm trying to say is, where did you get the inspiration? How did you know, okay, I'm going to go from face masks to, let's say, scrunchies and some of the other products that you sell? How did you decide what to go with? Because obviously you sell quite a range now.
So one of the first things that I created was a skinny hairband. It's like a skinny version of a scrunchie that can go on your wrist. I'm someone that's always sort of constantly taking their hair up and down. So I'm not someone that really puts their hair up in an elaborate way and stays there for the whole day. I teach quite a lot of PE, and so it's up and down sort of through the day. And I just wanted something that was a bit more attractive that I could keep on my wrist, rather than those sort of horrible elastic sort of type bands, which are also just really bad for your hair. But I actually first started playing around with a headband, which I didn't create from silk at that point, because silk hasn't got any stretch in. And so I knew that I liked the headband that I made, but at that point it was sort of put to one side because it just worked more with cotton. And so the first product that I created was the silk scrunchie, the thin scrunchie on the wrist. And that really was just by sort of doing some searching. So from a competitor sort of popped up in my Instagram, I think possibly a sponsored ad, and sort of, you know, that was something that I was looking for. And then couldn't really see at that point. However, I'd probably done some more research. I guess it always works where you think you've got a sort of a niche product, and then actually that's not always the way. But yeah, so just inspired really by another company and the fact that I wanted to have a headband that I could also wear on my wrist that didn't look quite so horrible as those elastic band type things.
Oh, thank you. And how about after that? So what products came next, and how did you come up with those?
So it was the normal size scrunchie. So the skinny band and the scrunchie, they were the first products that I started with. And then because of then learning about the properties of silk, the eye mask was the next thing. And it really has been trial and error. So I'm not fashion trained. It has just come from a hobby that has built up and then gained experience through there. So a lot of trial and error, really. So researching and then playing around with patterns, making them up, you know, testing them, thinking, oh, that needs to be a little bit longer, or that's not quite covering the eyes. And so the next product then was the eye mask, or the sleep, I call it a sleep mask, but I've noticed that lots of other companies do call them eye masks. So I have to be careful, you know, what words I use so that people know what I mean when I say a sleep mask.
Okay, thank you. And so how much input have you had from sort of customers, or what part of your customers played in deciding which products come next and maybe which ones you do in different colours? Have they had much of an input into that?
Cool. So I think mainly on social media, I use Instagram the most. And so I do get messages from friends and from customers as well now, as you built up, as you, you know, sort of build up that relationship. So for example, not long ago, I made a children's silk headband. So I use that knowledge that I've got from the elastic of the small band into the back of the headband. And then people are like, oh, I want one. You know, when will you do an adult version? So yes, I just really from customers and friends messaging me and saying, when will you bring this out? I had a friend say, when are you going to bring silk pillowcases out? They're such a big thing at the moment. So yes, they have played quite a big part in which product I think about and bring out next.
That's really nice, because you do have quite a range now, actually. So it's nice that I guess you can keep expanding and trying new things, and also that you can be responsive to what people are asking you for as well.
Yeah, I've always got something, sort of one or two products, you know, in the pipeline. It's just finding that sort of time to keep up with it, with everything. But I've just launched a silk aromatherapy eye pillow, and that's going really well. And yeah, as well as friends, it comes from, I guess, my need as well. So for that, for example, was created that I was having some problems with my eyes, was diagnosed blepharitis and sold this really rubbish sort of heat mask. And so that product, you know, grew from my need of needing something for sore eyes and relaxation. So yeah, lots of different input from different people.
That's really good. And I think as well that products have to meet a need, and it doesn't matter if it's your own need, because I think any need that we have, there's going to be other people with exactly the same needs as us, because none of us are as unique as we think we are in that sense. Do you know what I mean? And I think making a project to meet your own need is fantastic, because you kind of then know, okay, who's actually the customer for this?
Yeah, definitely.
And so where are you selling your products as well as your website? Because you've mentioned Instagram, and I've seen you've got a lovely Instagram. And do you tend to get sales from there or anywhere else?
Yeah. So social media wise, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. So my main website, Instagram, Facebook, and then just recently started on Pinterest as well, although I'm still learning with that. So lots to learn there. I'm also in a local gift shop as well, just a couple of villages away from me. And I'm also online in some other gift stores as well.
Oh, that's amazing. And I didn't, and wow, considering like you've been going for just a few months, really, that's amazing that you've managed to get stocked in so many places. And if you don't mind me asking this, how did you manage to get your products into the gift shops?
Well, the gift shop actually was in a village that I used to live in before moving to the one that I'm in now. And it was a gift shop that I used to go in all the time. And then that closed down for a little while and then was due to open, unfortunately, when COVID sort of started. And I was on Instagram and noticed that that gift shop under a different name was reopening. And I know one of the ladies that own it, not very well, but just from popping in and being in that village. And so I followed her account and messaged and wasn't even really thinking about it at that point, but she then suggested, you know, I really like the look of your products and maybe you could, yeah, get them into her store. So I was really, yeah, really, really pleased about that.
Oh, that's amazing. And what about the online gift stores? Have you had to sort of approach people or have you been lucky and had people sort of want to stock them?
Yeah, with those, I was lucky that they did approach me. But I have also approached other people and just said, oh, you know, I really like your gift shop. I think my product would sit well. And, you know, some people don't get back at all. And yeah, it's just that gradual sort of build up, really. But I was quite lucky with the other online gift shops that they approached me. I'm also on a local, I think, yeah, as well as Cambridgeshire, I think they're also in Brighton and London, a group called the Click It Local.
Okay.
Yeah, that was something I saw and approached them, which is a great service because you can buy products from all different sorts of shops. So whether that's food or gifts or plants. And it's such a great service because they come to my house, collect the gifts, and then they take it to the customer the next day. So it's a really, really great service. So the customer can order all sorts of different things and have them delivered to their house. Yeah, very, very quickly from all over Cambridge.
Oh, that's amazing and fantastic. You're stocked in so many places now. And I think it just goes to show that sometimes you just have to ask.
Definitely, definitely. Nothing wrong with asking, no.
So we've talked about time a few sort of we've touched on the, sort of the time it takes to run the business. Now, I know that you mentioned that you have a day job, which is why we're recording this in the evening. So how do you run the business alongside having what I presume is a full-time day job? How do you find the time and how do you stay organized and sort of balanced too? Because I know you mentioned you're a mum as well, so you've got a lot on your plate. How are you doing it?
I don't really know is the answer to that. It is a real, real juggle. Obviously, when I started, I was off work and then had the summer. So I wasn't quite as prepared to be as busy as I am. So it is a real, real, real juggle. I think in one word, lists, that's my go-to thing and the only way I can keep on top of things. My children are older now. I've got one at university and one just finished at college, going off to university. So I've definitely got more time there, and I could not imagine doing this with working and having young children as well. So at least when I come home, I haven't got to sort of worry about them so much. It is just myself. But the main thing is lists. So I have lists on my phone and I break that down into home tasks, business tasks, urgent home, urgent business, and then I always have a sewing list and I just tick off and I do only the important things really, and then that to-do list just gets longer and longer and longer. And yeah, I definitely feel overwhelmed at different points, and different apps as well. I just started to look into try and schedule things because I don't do that at the moment, and so my social media content can be a bit of a bit gappy. I know I should be doing it more and regularly, and sometimes I will have a bit of a break just because it's so hard to keep up. But I'm getting better at managing and knowing that I can only, you know, do what I can. Yeah, but it is a real juggle.
But obviously it's something that you really enjoy.
Yeah, really, really enjoy. And I am a super organized person, which I'm sure sort of helps. But it is always a real struggle. I've possibly at the stage now where I need to get someone to help me. So I've just bought a new sewing machine recently. And the plan is to get my mum on board as well. Because that's the hardest thing with sewing all my own things, is that it does take up quite a lot of time. And I've reached the stage where I haven't got any stock. So I'm constantly playing catch up. And that is really, really, really tricky to keep on top of. So yeah, the job in half term next week is to get my mum on board. So she's fantastic at that kind of thing. And I hope to see her and get her to help me. She's already helping with some cutting out. So cutting out the products, at least then if I'm come home from work, I haven't got to start the process right from the beginning.
Okay, so you could, yes, if the patterns are cut, you just sew them. I mean, I say just, I obviously, you can probably tell how little I know, but you can sew them without having to cut as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because silk is notoriously slippery. I couldn't have chosen a harder material to start with. So it does take quite a lot of time to sort of set up, and you have to layer it in, you know, newspaper or tissue. So the cutting process is also quite lengthy. So it really does help that you have only just got to sew it.
Yeah. And I assume that, you know, you're doing everything else yourself. So sending out the products and doing your social media and your website and all the other things.
It's just never ending. I don't think you realize when you start a small business just how much is involved. Just keeping up the website, and as I'm learning, you know, about that more technical side with the SEO, there is just always something to think of, you know, from the packing up, the going to the post office, designing the website, the photography, social media. So yeah, there are so many things to consider, but I do love all of that. Just possibly need a little bit of help now.
Yeah, and I know I'm with you. I really actually like being busy. It kind of suits me, but I think what I have to, and I don't know if you can sometimes relate, that sometimes I have to be watched that I'm not getting busy doing things that I don't have to be doing. Because obviously, I guess the priority is products are made, products are sold and posted. But I think you can find yourself going down so many rabbit holes and, you know, deciding you need to absolutely do this. Last summer, I ended up spending a long time on Pinterest, which I don't think I needed to do. In hindsight, it just seemed really urgent at the time, getting everything on there.
Completely the same. You can start off, the social media is just awful for that. You know, you start looking at posts. Obviously, it's so important to support other small businesses. And I always feel bad that I've missed out on people's posts and stories, because I love, you know, hearing about their businesses as well. But you start on Instagram or Pinterest. Pinterest, like you said, is terrible for that. That you start, and before you know it, you've lost easily hours if you're not careful, it just scrolling.
Yeah, and I think it's just hard to resist that temptation to be everywhere. I decided I had to get all of my things onto Pinterest, which I did, and I don't actually think it made any kind of a difference, really. And so now it's sort of just Instagram and that's it, because I think the temptation is to do everything and be everywhere and sort of put more on your plate. I don't know.
Not manageable, is it, really, to do all of those things? And it becomes my favourite.
I'm sure people can relate to all of this, though. So how... just logistically then, do you make orders as they come in, or do you try and have stock already made? How are you managing that?
To start with, before I launched the business over that summer, I only had 3 colors at that point and 3 products. So the sleep mask, the large scrunchie and the skinny scrunchie. And so I've got my 3 colors, and I did make stock in all of those things. And so to start with, that really, really helped. But now I haven't got any stock, because I cut it out. So the last half term, I thought, okay, I'm going to get ahead of myself. And I was involved in one of the pop-up shopping event, which I'd done previously in the November, and it went really well. So I knew I needed to be organized. So I spent the whole of my last half term sort of cutting out and getting everything ready, starting to sell you know, create those products. But as soon as I was doing that, I was getting orders coming in. So I've just never managed to get on top of creating stock. And so that is definitely the next thing I need to do. I mean, it's helped in that I haven't wasted anything, but it doesn't make it easy at all. And then if you get big orders come in, I'm just then super stressed.
Oh, but it's nice. I guess in the way, though, it is nice that you can say everything is bespoke, made to order, maybe. So there's pros and cons.
Yeah. And I think I've never really had any sales, but I have got a couple of products in the sale. And that was just because I made that initially, that stock. And then as I've grown and my experience and my sewing, everything has improved, I'm just super, super fussy. And I think, oh, I prefer that now to how it was then. And things change all the time.
No, but that's good though, isn't it? And it's good to keep sort of evolving and learning and things like that. So obviously we've touched on the fact that you love your business, and I think you would have to love it to, you know, spend the time in it that you do. So what are some of the things that, you know, that you enjoy about it?
So definitely the creative side and the sewing the best, but only if I'm not rushed. So I really enjoy that process. I find it really, really therapeutic just to switch off and concentrate. I always have music playing in the background, or more recently podcasts, which is how I found you. So I've learned so much through listening to other people. So definitely the sewing for me is the best part. But yeah, only if I'm not rushed and I'm not sort of stressed out about that. So I think it is so therapeutic, the sewing side of things. Second to that, sort of the designing. I love all aspects, really. I love the social media side of it. I think the creative in the sewing is my favourite bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I hear that from a lot of makers as well, that the making is, I mean, I guess that's the reason why you have the business, because you enjoy the process of designing and making.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely.
And what about some of the challenges, either sort of things that are ongoing or maybe some things that you think that people listening might be able to learn from?
I think time management is the biggest struggle at the moment. I've learned from sort of previous businesses, especially sort of so heavily based around social media, that I could be better at that time management from not scrolling. Another thing I think I found tricky is setting prices for the products. I think it's so easy with sort of small businesses or creative businesses that, well, I think if you buy from one, you're definitely getting your value for money, because I think a lot of us never probably charge properly for our time, at least probably early on anyway. I think it's because it's hard to get to people to understand how long it takes to make your product. So I do struggle with setting prices, and I think I'm getting better as I've gone along to thinking about how long it takes me to make something. So for example, you know, I've started the bands that were in packs of three. I'm now selling those singly just for people to maybe test out and try, so they didn't have to buy the three. And that product is sort of $7.99, and it's posted for free as well. So if you consider sort of the price of the silk, and then it takes me sort of 30, 40 minutes probably from scratch just to make that one small band. So if you take that out, you can probably start to see that I'm probably not really charging enough. And so I'm learning as I'm going on and making new products that I've got to start considering the time it's taking me. So yeah, time management and setting product prices are probably the trickiest things I've found.
I think that's good. Thank you very much for sharing that. But I think that's always going to be a struggle when you're making your products yourself, because it's obviously someone could buy the same thing or something similar from a factory that's knocking out loads of them and it costs them pennies, but what they're getting from you is something different, because, you know, you've put all the care and love and time into it. As you say, it is a challenge to get people to recognize that.
It's hard. And I think I can remember having a little bit of a blip and thinking, oh, why am I doing this? Because I could see so many companies setting up as silk companies, and I could tell that their products were all very, very much the same. And companies have contacted me as well from China and various places and tried to give me their price list. And you look and you think how cheap you can buy their products, and think, oh, and it felt a bit disheartened really, and thinking, one, why didn't I think of that? But then also, actually, I think there are so many people now that are supportive of handmade businesses and want to support local. I just had to, yeah, take a check at my thought processes there and realize that there are people that support handmade businesses, and you just have to find those people and get across that they are paying for your time as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that was going to be the next point I was going to make, that while you obviously it's hard, not everyone sees the value in something handmade, that I think there are more and more people that are seeking out good things that are handmade and want to support small businesses and go straight to Etsy or Instagram when they're looking for something rather than going to Amazon. I do think that's happening more and more now. And as you say, I think whatever you sell, you're not going to be for everyone, because there's always going to be the people who are concerned with price, the people who are concerned with quality, the people who want handmade, the people who want, you know, whatever. You know, what I'm basically trying to say is that I think there's customers for everyone. And yes, there'll be people who will be wanting to buy, you know, the similar products from Chinese companies, but then there are also going to be people who are going to be seeking out people like you because they really want them to be handmade. And I think there's definitely a market for everyone.
Yeah, it is true, and it's just a mindset thing. I think I was thrown by a friend who sort of said, oh, did you realize that you can get that silk pillowcase, you know, here for this much? I was like, well, I can. I have no idea how they're doing that. But actually, when they've been, you know, launched their businesses for sort of 20, 30 years, and they have huge, huge warehouses and companies in China and Asia, you know, I'm never going to be able to compete with those. And yeah.
But I don't think you need to. As I no. say, I think that you're looking at different customers and you definitely don't need to compete. And this is something I say to people a lot, that you don't need to compete on that, because what you're offering is completely different. But it's definitely hard, because yeah, it can. And I can totally see that it can be disheartening as well. But don't be disheartened, because your products are fantastic and people love them, and that's what matters. And you love it. So
yeah, it's all important stuff.
Yeah, so it's all good. So just I have one final question that I'd love to ask before we finish, if that's okay, Nicola, and that's, what would your number one piece of advice be to anyone looking to start creating and selling their own products now?
I think I've probably already mentioned it. I think it is just to really, really consider the time it takes for you to make those products, and not only that, to package them up as well, and you know, the whole process. So yeah, I think definitely that would be my biggest tip, is to consider your time, and also just to spend a little bit more time than I did maybe researching. I don't think I've necessarily missed out, but it did start really quick. And I think, yeah, definitely research as much as you can, but not to get stuck too much that you never start. I think I remember reading, I don't think it was a quote, but just a piece of information, and I don't remember who from, but said something along the lines of, if you're super, super pleased with everything before you start and you think everything's perfect, you've probably started too late. And that sometimes it's best to just start, and not worry that everything isn't in place first, because things change and you pick those things up as you go along.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice. Thank you. And I think, as you alluded to earlier as well, whatever point you start, even if things are perfect, things will still change and things will still evolve, because that's life, really. So I don't think there's ever a perfect, you know, perfect. I don't think the stars are ever really going to align and everything's going to be perfect for any of us. So I think it's good to just get going. Thank you. And I do like what you said about research as well, because that's something I say to people a lot. But yeah, it's also really good advice not to get in the trap of just researching and not actually doing, because I think that's sort of the other end of the spectrum, is you could spend a an awful lot of time researching absolutely everything.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think I would have ever got started if I, you know, waited till everything was perfect.
And actually, sort of having products to sell and getting feedback from customers is probably one of the best forms of research anyway, because it's, you know, it's real.
That's
and
true.
And it's based on what you've actually done.
Very, very true.
Well, thank you so, so much for all you've shared today, Nicola. Where can people go to take a look at your products?
So my website is silkjasmine.co.uk. I'm on Instagram as silkjasmineuk and Facebook as just silkjasmine. And Pinterest as, oh, I've forgotten. I think it's the other way around. It's really annoying when
Don't worry yourself if you can't find it, because what I'll do is I'll link all of this in the show notes anyway, so people can find it really, really easily. So don't worry. But I do like to ask, because if anyone is listening online now, they could always go and type this in and have a look. But thank you so much. I really love chatting to you. Thank you so much for everything you've shared and for being so honest about it all. I always really appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been great.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for listening. As always, I would absolutely love to know what you thought of this episode. Please do remember to rate and review the show, and also, most importantly, subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And as a reminder, I release a new episode every single Friday. So take care and look forward to speaking to you again then.
Hi, this is just a little note to say, if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.